So the projections are in, and it looks like the Cubs are projected by Baseball Prospectus to finish at 79-83. Are they going to be cellar dwellers? Listen all about it here on this episode of Cubby Correlation. Welcome back to Cubby Correlation. This is episode 2. We're calling this one Cellar Dwellers. My name's Danny, and I'm joined by...
I'm Peter.
And so as we talked about in the intro, Baseball Prospectus has the Cubs projected at going 79-83, finishing in the bottom of the NL Central. So on this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about how this could possibly happen, and discuss why we believe these projections are probably false, and why the Cubs are going to probably actually finish at the top and probably win over 90 games. So, last episode we talked a lot about spring training and getting into the players and our predictions and all that type of stuff. And so, basically on this episode we're going to focus more on just talking about these crazy predictions and why they might not be so crazy, but at the same time why they probably are very crazy, because we have some evidence to back up why they probably will be false. So let's dive in. The first thing we're going to talk about is, okay, what if these predictions are right and why they could be right? So we're going to start off with the pitching staff. So we're going to start off with the starting pitching, and especially we're going to focus on right now John Lester and Cole Hamels.
So right now our starting pitchers, Lester and Hamel, make up about half of the starting pitchers, and both of them are looking older than the average pitcher in the league. And both of them have a probability of regressing. Lester's FIP, the field independent pitching, was over 4 for the last 2 seasons. And in perspective, a good FIP is around 3.8. 4.2 is dead average, and 3.2 is really excellent. So if it's over 4, he's doing about average or a little worse than average. Ideally, you want to strive between 3.2 and 3.8 as a pitcher. So Lester's kind of tapering off. It's not necessarily the end of the world, though. There's definitely room for recovery. And Hamill, on the other hand, is getting old, which is more irreversible. So for both of them, the starting pitcher game right now looks like it's going to be less hopeful for Lester and Hamels, but Quintana and Darvish both still have promise, especially with Darvish coming back from his injury. So as far as Lester and Hamels go, I think picking one of them to stay would be the ideal move for the Cubs.
Yeah, and I just think talking about these guys, Pecota has them both regressing a lot, and because they're 35, I could see Hamels' FIP still, Lester's FIP still staying over 4. I mean, he's getting older, 35. Usually you don't just out of nowhere start turning back the clock and getting better, and so I can see Lester still having that FIP over 4, but I still think he's going to be a really solid front end of the rotation starter for the Cubs. And I don't think Cole Hamels is going to be as good as he was last year when he came over from the Cubs. I think he had like an ERA under 1, but I could probably see something in between. Like, this is a pretty big interval, but like 2.5 and 3.5. I still think he's going to be really good, and he's going to probably be one of the better pitchers in the Cubs rotation, and he'll probably have a lot less regression than, I would say, John Lester.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, yeah, and then if we dive more into this starting rotation, another thing that could really jeopardize the Cubs season and make them have fall below 500 is if Yu Darvish and Tyler Chatwood have really bad seasons again. I mean, last year, Yu Darvish had a really injury-plagued season, and he was out for most of the season, only made a couple of starts, and had a really mediocre season for Yu Darvish. And Tyler Chatwood was arguably one of the, if not the worst starter in Major League Baseball. He had 8.25 walks per nine innings, which led the game and was absurd and crazy, and hopefully it doesn't happen
really
again.
Just not even pitching at that point.
No, he had a loss of
playing.
No, he had a loss of command and control, and it really, really affected him. And so this could be another problem. If I believe Chatwood's going to start in the bullpen, and if Chatwood is still having this problem with the walks and stuff like that out of the bullpen, and he's probably going to make some spot starts as well if guys need a night off or get injured. And so
especially Darvish, because if Darvish gets strained, we're basically repeating last season.
Yeah, and so I mean, for those two guys to really struggle would really hurt the team, because I believe that the odds are in their favor more to struggle than Lester and Hamels, because they have a solid track record the last couple of years. So,
but on the bright side, Chatwood has very little room to get worse, but a lot of room to improve. So I mean, this season, if he's just like, if he does like even, I don't know, 5 walks per 9 innings, that's like dramatically better. The team will do dramatically better.
Yeah, that's pretty true. And so the next thing is the Cubs bullpen could really struggle with Morrow hurt and Montgomery slowly coming back. He should be ready for the season, but I mean, the Cubs could really have a hard time closing ball games, and that could really have trouble on the amount of wins the team gets. And Peter, I believe there's a couple people in the bullpen that we should also be a little bit skeptical about.
Yeah, so like you said, our closer Morrow's hurt, and that's a problem. But then Kintzler and Dunsing, so both of them have the field independent pitching scores that are pretty bad, especially Dunsing. So Kintzler is at a 4.1. Again, the average is at 4.2. And to be considered above average, you really need 3.8 or less. So he's really just mediocre. He's like dead average as a pitcher with the performance he's had last year with 4.1. Dunsing is at a 6.35. Now, a 5 for field independent pitching is considered awful, and he is well above a 5. So that's like astoundingly bad. So, I mean, even just if we could get everyone at Lester or Kinsler's 4.1 or 4.2, that's like a huge improvement. Just getting to average would be a huge improvement.
Yeah, another thing you have to think about is for these guys to have FIPs this high is really scary, because they're relievers. They should not be pitching like mediocre starting pitchers or really bad starting pitchers. They usually should have FIPs.
Especially when some of our starters are getting older and they can't, like, the less innings, we're going to take mid relievers and they're going to start doing long relief. Then when the long relief has a 6.35 FIP, basically the average pitching during a game just gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, and speaking of middle relievers, the Cubs signed Brad Bratch this offseason. And there are some things we could talk about as well about him, right, Peter?
Yeah, so his FIP is a 3.12. And if it's worth saying real quick, the FIP is the field independent pitching. So it's around in the same scale as the ERA statistic, but the problem with ERA is that it has too much to do with how anything is fielded. So the FIP just depends on the three basically possibilities that happen, which is either the person gets walked, they strike out, or they hit it. And at the end of the FIP, you add a constant to it to put it in the same range as the other statistic, and usually the constant's around 3.2. So if you have FIPs that are like 3.2 or lower, those are like excellent. Those are almost flawless pitching game. So Brad Bratch, he had a 3.12 in 2018, which is the second best in his career. It's amazing. A 3.12 is pretty ideal. So if he gets injured or regresses, that's going to be really, really losing a great pitcher, a great statistical pitcher.
Yeah, the Cubs are really going to need that performance he gave as a Brave after the trade deadline last year. Okay, jumping into the lineup, there could also be some problems with this lineup that really affect. We saw this in the second half of the season with the Cubs last year, as they struggled to produce runs, and that was a big reason why they ended up losing the title for the NL Central on Game 163, and they also lost to the Rockies in the wild card. So one of the bigger things is that Alberto Mora was a big first-round draft pick of the Cubs a couple of years ago, and they've been now is his time to step up and start becoming the everyday starting center fielder. But what we saw from Almora last year was a great first half, but in the second half, he had an OPS of about 0.546, so he really fell off the face of the earth, and the Cubs can't have that happen again for Almora because they need him to be as good as he was in the first half going forward next year. Another player that the Cubs really need to rely on, like always, is Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo had a really slow start last season. Before the break, still pretty good, but he had a 0.748 OPS. And then after the break, he was as phenomenal as usual. He had a 0.970 OPS. And that's the type of player the Cubs need out of Anthony Rizzo this season. Another thing that could really hurt the Cubs is if Kyle Schwarber fails to improve his play discipline. We saw Kyle Schwarber have a 78-140 walk-to-strikeout ratio and 137 games last year. That means he struck out more than the amount of games he played last year, and that's pretty bad. So we can't have that happen again. Another thing is Ian Happ also has to learn to control his play discipline. He had a 36.1 K percentage, strikeout percentage last season as well. So he struck out in more than a third of his at-bats, and that's awful. But the thing that really struck out about Ian Happ is when he put the ball in play, he had a batting average of about .362. So if he can learn to take more pitches and work the counts more and walk more and find ways to stop striking out, he should be able to raise his batting average, raise his on-base percentage, OPS, and help these Cubs produce some more runs. Another thing that the team can really definitely not see is having Chris Bryant have another season where he gets injured and his numbers regress.
Yeah. So going back to the OPS, that OPS stats that we were talking about earlier, the 0.546 is really pretty disappointing. Only a couple of baseball players in history have broken a 1.0 OPS. So with Anthony Rizzo at a 0.97, that's really, really strong. And right now, the top OPS on the team, I think to date right now, is Bryant. He's probably the best slugger, followed by Rizzo and then Baez. So if he got injured, right now, one of our biggest problems as a team as the Cubs is we're not producing enough runs. Like we don't have the slugging, the offensive potential that we need. With Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez at their peak performance, and then maybe with hopefully Almora getting better, we'll have that. Should Bryant get injured, though, we would lose essentially a third of our cleanup hitting. Our lineup would be incomplete.
Oh yeah, that is so true. And speaking of cleanup hitting, another really solid hitter for the Cubs, while he doesn't hit cleanup, he hits at the top of the lineup usually, would be if Ben Zobrist has a tremendous regression from last year. I mean, Ben Zobrist arguably had the best season of his career last year. He put up a 123 weighted runs created. So he was really worth a lot to his team last year, and if he falls somewhere in the lower hundreds, that would be okay, but to fall below 100 would really hurt this team. And they need Ben Zobrist in the last couple seasons of his contract, especially the last season of his contract, to really step up and continue to be a very good player. And
for the cleanup hitting, one thing that I think is really maybe not fully considered or not taken into account, but is really simple, is that if you have at least three cleanup hitters, you can't walk all three of them. Because if someone's on base and you send up a cleanup hitter, and maybe the pitcher doesn't want him to get a solid hit, they'll like walk him, right? But if you have three of them, for us it'd be Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez, they can't walk all three without us getting a point, without us getting someone to home base, essentially. So if we lose Bryant to an injury, we effectively lose that necessitated scoring.
Yeah, I mean, you could also argue that Schwarber could kind of fill in there, but the problem is that if you put Schwarber there, you, like we said, Schwarber has to improve his plate discipline this season. So yeah, the Cubs are really relying on Bryant to be really good, because that would really give them the edge over the other teams in the NL Central and the rest of the National League. And one other player that we can talk about in this lineup, I mean, he isn't really a big offensive contributor, but I was going through his stats, and as a Cub, every season of his contract so far, he seems to have gotten a lot better offensively, and he seems to finally be able to get on track to have a season with the Cubs where he posts a 100 weighted runs created plus, and that's Jason Hayward. But Jason Hayward went from a 78 his first season with the Cubs to an 88, and last season in 2018 he posted a 99. So hopefully he can get over that 100 mark this year, and I think he's going to have his best season as a Cub so far. But one thing also Jason Hayward could do is arguably continue to not post a weighted runs created plus above 100, and that would really hurt, because he's such a great defender in right field, but the Cubs really need his bat to start getting hot, because if Jason Hayward starts hitting better, that just helps the lineup a ton.
Yeah, I agree. I think our lineup is, I think the biggest struggle with our lineup is going to be keeping our solid sluggers, our cleanup hitters in the game, and then just improving plate discipline. Plate discipline seems to be like one of the biggest issues we have.
Yes, it is. And I mean, we have a lot of young guys on this team, but if they can continue to improve the plate discipline, we can overcome the Cardinals, we can overcome the Brewers, we can easily outbeat the Reds, and I believe without a fact we're going to have a way better season than the Pirates. Anyway, we'll be back after the break. Hey folks, we're back here in Cubby Correlation. You can follow us on Twitter at CubbyCORR or at our website www.cubbycorrelation.com. We are talking about the baseball prospectus projections for the Cubs finishing below 500 in the bottom of the division. Are the Cubs going to be cellar dwellers? Definitely not. And on this end of the show, we are going to talk about why we believe the Cubs not only are not going to be cellar dwellers, but they are going to finish at the top of their division. So let's kick right in. So the thing that we really have to get out there is that the Cubs have one of the best rotations in the National League. And you could also argue that it might be one of the best rotations in baseball if you include the American League as well. I mean, if you look at this pitching staff, if you look at who's projected to start, you got Lester, you got Hamels, you got Hendricks, you got Quintana, and you got Yu Darvish. Besides Lester, it seems like everybody this season is projected to have a really good season and possibly have a career year as well. I mean, so the thing about spring training is, yeah, there's not a lot you should take into consideration, but when I watch spring training games, when I watch guys in spring training bat and pitch, things I look for is the pitches they're working on, how is their approach at the plate, how are they getting batters out, do they look the same, do they look like they're improving, especially for the guys that are trying to win a roster spot or trying to look like they're different than last year if they're coming off a bad year. And I have to say, I think that the only pitcher who's going to take a step back in this starting rotation is John Lester. And I don't even think it's going to be that big of a step back. I mean, I still think he's going to have an FIP around four or above four. But I still think you're going to see that pitcher that's been really key to the Cubs vital, key to the Cubs rotation for the last couple of years. Cole Hamels is going to have an amazing year, I bet. So what I've seen from Hendricks this spring training so far is he's been working on a curveball, and his sinker looked really good today. And today's March 10th, and I just think that Hendricks is going to be a really good pitcher. Yu Darvish has been topping 97, and it's just going to be amazing to watch him hopefully have a full, healthy season for the Cubs. I really think he could put up some really good numbers and look like he did when he was a Texas Ranger, and even when he was a Dodger before the World Series. I think Quintana might have his best season as a Cub this year. I'm really excited to see what he does. I'm just really excited to see the starting rotation, Peter.
Yeah. I know that you're saying that with the spring training, it shouldn't really matter too much, but if we look at the standings for the National League and our division right now, so we're in the Cactus League, and in the Cactus League with us are the Reds and the Brewers. So the Cubs, as of right now, are second place in the Cactus League, with the Brewers are in eighth and the Reds are dead last. Then in the Grapefruit League, Cardinals are third from last and the Pirates are the 11th place spot. So if it has any bearing on what the real season's going to look like, it looks pretty good for our division. I think, like you said, Lester's probably going to be about a 4-point whatever FIP. If we get the discipline on the plate when we're batting, and I guess with pitching when you're talking about Chatwood, if we get those to finally kind of fall into place, I think it's going to be just an exponential growth. I think based on past statistics, there are definitely some, for one, there's missing data, but there was also some bad years. Darvish was missing data from essentially the whole last year. If Bryant has an injured season, that's skewing everything. But again, with the closer, we still have Strope as a closer. We'll be fine if we have Chatwood as a long relief. And Kinsler may struggle with a 10.18 ERA and a 1.875 WHIP in spring. But other than minor struggles like that, I don't think there's too much of a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think another guy we could bring up is Brian Dunsing. Has, after looking good the first couple innings this spring, he really looked bad yesterday. But hopefully he can put some good results in for the last couple of weeks of spring. But just touching upon what you said, I want to back this up with some analysis from a former Cub, actually, Dan Plesac. He used to be a relief pitcher in the major leagues. And I was listening to him on Cubs Talk the other day, and he had a couple things to say. One of the things he said is that he said that the problem he sees with the Cubs is how the eighth and ninth inning will play out. I mean, it can go any way, but I really think that Strope is going to be a really solid closer for the Cubs until Morrow comes back. Because Strope filled in for him last year, and he did really well. Strope is a very solid relief pitcher. And you got Montgomery. Hopefully, Kinsler and Dunsing can bounce back. Carl Edwards Jr. is fantastic. And Brad Bratch should be a nice addition to the bullpen. Having Tyler Chatwood as long relief should also go a long way. I also want to mention that something that stuck out to me that Dan Plesac said was that the Cubs have a pitching lab that's dedicated to analytics at Sloan Park. So they help these guys overcome and their struggles and figure out what they need to work on through like tracking devices and stuff like that. And they can see pitch location, spin rates, and how fast that is. And I just think that the Cubs have really good approach to helping pitchers get better, and we've seen that over the years. And I know John Lester doesn't really like to take advantage of analytics. He's an old school guy, but it's nice to see that the rest of the pitching staff really looks into analytics as a support system to help them improve on their game. And
yeah, I think physics will go a long way.
Yeah, definitely. And this was another interesting thing. There's a Twitter page I follow, and I'm going to give you guys a shout-out, called Cubs Live. They tweeted today that there's only four active starters in Major League Baseball with 100 or more starts with a better earned run average than Kyle Hendricks. Those four pitchers are Clayton Kershaw, Jacob deGrom, Madison Bumgarner, and Chris Sale. And those are some of the best pitchers in all of baseball. That's a list that you want to be a part of, and that shows you how deep this Cubs starting pitching staff is.
Yeah, I mean, the dream is to be in top 10. So to be at number 5, that is a solid position and a winning position.
Yeah, and I mean, if we want to talk about some things that might happen, I mean, Brian Dunsing might struggle. And somebody I can see filling in is Mike Zagurski's had a really nice spring, so I wouldn't be surprised if they actually picked him up and signed him to a major league deal. But, I mean, I think for right now, the Cubs are going to stick with Dunsing because of the money, and the same thing with Kinsler is the money. So, like, for them to just automatically, and it's spring, so, like, they want to see how those guys play out in the regular season. And I think if you just give them some more time, they might look a little bit better. And I'm really excited to see. I used to do a lot of pitching myself during bullpen sessions and stuff like that. So as a former terrible pitcher, I'm going to say I used to pitch left-handed. I was not really good, but I love pitching. And so anyway, as a former pitcher myself, terrible pitcher, let me get that in there. I'm really excited to watch the pitching for the Cubs because pitching is arguably my favorite part of baseball. I just love the decision-making that goes into it, commanding pitches, controlling, and these Cubs are really good pitchers, and I think that's a really good reason. I touched upon this last week, why I think they're better than the Brewers, is they have a better pitching rotation. I believe they're a lot better than the Cardinals as well. And if you watch baseball the last couple seasons, you see that starting pitching is primarily the reason why teams win World Series. The Red Sox, Astros, Cubs won one in 2016. I mean, starting pitching goes a long way.
Yeah, I agree. I think we don't just have record-setting pitchers, though. I mean, some of our batters are really up there. I think Baez has, like, the third highest RBI last year with 111, and Rizzo was, like, in the top 14. He was, like, 14th with 101. So that's also huge. As far as RBIs go, to be in the top, I think, 10, it was between the scores between 105 and 130, with 130 being the highest. So to have two guys above 100 on our team is definitely a lot of potential. There's a lot of offensive slugging potential there.
Yeah, this Cubs offense is such a juggernaut, and it's so versatile, and it's so deep, and I love it so much. And honestly, I will not be surprised to see the Cubs be one of the top run-scoring teams, run-producing teams in the National League and all of baseball. Their lineup is just so good. Like you said, you've got Javier Baez, you've got Chris Bryant, you've got Kyle Schwarber, you've got Anthony Rizzo, Contreras, Ben Zobrist, you've got Elmora. It's just like, the team never ends with good quality guys, and you even got Hab, Bodie, Descalso on the bench, and Caratini. I mean, this Cubs team is such great offensively, and I think one thing that we're going to really see this year and why the Cubs are going to do so much better is we're going to see a huge step forward from Kyle Schwarber and hopefully a huge step forward from Ian Happ as well. We are already seeing one so far in spring from Albert or Moore. He just keeps hitting the ball. And, I mean, I haven't seen him walk. I don't know if I've seen him walk or if he's even walked at all. But, I mean, he just continues to keep hitting. And as long as he keeps hitting, he's going to be really good. But Schwarber so far, man, he has impressed me so much at the plate. He's played in 9 games, and so far he has 9 walks to 4 strikeouts. This is a guy who struck out, like I said earlier in the segment, 140 times in 137 games. So the fact that he's really taking more pitches at the plate, getting on base more, controlling what's coming at him, and watching his play discipline, you're going to really see his batting average. And I was talking to a friend on the phone about this today. I could even see him having batting average around 260, which will not only increase his on base, not only increase his OPS, but will really help him overall become a better offensive player and help drive in more runs and have the people behind him in the lineup driving him in as well. And with Ian Happ, it's been awesome to see him only have 4 Ks and 28 at-bats. This is a guy who said struck out more than a third of the time last year in the lineup. So for Ian Happ to also take that step forward, could someday open up second base or an outfield spot as a potential position for him to play. And I think more second base as Ben Zobrist comes off the books in a couple of years.
Yeah, if the statistics we have here are at all representative of the year, that's Happ striking out less than a half as much as he did. And Schwarber, his thing was plate discipline. And if in 9 games he's really improved that much, you know, from 78 to 40 in 137 games to now in 9 games only striking out 4 times, that's another, you know, almost double in performance. It's a huge increase. Bryant, hopefully he'll be healthy. He had a strong spring. His OPS is at a 1.188, which is really excellent. So with all of these batting improvements, I think it's definitely reasonable to say that the projection's false. There's no way. And I think personally I'm most excited to see Yu Darvish finally come into his own.
Yeah, as a pitcher, Peter, I'm really excited to see Yu Darvish too. And I'm really excited to see Tyler Chatwood hopefully put last season behind him, because I've seen him play for the Rockies. I've watched him, and when he's on, he's phenomenal. I was so excited when the Cubs signed him, and I just want to see the pitcher they sign. And the same thing with Darvish. I want to see the pitcher they sign, because these two guys, when they're on their game, they're amazing. And I think it's safe to say with this Cubs offense and this Cubs pitching staff that I can't see why any team in the National League Central is projected to be above them. I really think the Cubs are going to win over 90 games.
Yeah, and one statistical thing to just accent what we're saying is, if you look at the actual distribution of OPS, it's a little bit right skewed. So there's a lot of people who have a mediocre OPS, and then the tail goes off and off and off. So there's like outliers with really good OPSs. And if Bryant has this 1.188 OPS, he's going to be on that rightward tail where he's just dramatically better than almost every other player in the league. And if we can get that kind of, you know, base control, that offensive power in our games, it's going to be, you know, unstoppable. If he stays healthy, doesn't get injured, it's like awakening the sleeping dragon sort of thing.
And yeah, I talked about this last week, Peter. Bryant has more WAR put up than Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and Nolan Arenado, all players he's really compared to against. Chris Bryant is one of the best players in Major League Baseball. And I think last year was a fluke. His health should be really strong this year. And I'm excited to see what he does back in that lineup. This Cubs lineup has so much power. But not only power, and they can not only hit, they can also play really good defense. Last year, they ranked number 5 in Major League Baseball in defensive WAR with 29.4 and an ultimate zone rating in the top 10 at number 9, which is extremely good as well with 23.4 UZR. this Cubs staff is so good at not only fielding, hitting, and pitching. And
yeah, Baez's fielding is ridiculous.
It's just like for people to project him to be under 500 is a little bit crazy. But I think something people have to keep in mind is I think these projections are based off the Pecota projections, which really takes age as a negative regressor when it comes to projecting stats for a guy's season. And so, yeah.
I think with our lineup, the thing is the age is not a really reliable statistical indication, right? Like there were baseball players who were playing and they went off to war and they came back and they were still really excellent. Like I think the Splendid Splinter went off to war or something, right? So, so he was up there. And I think with age, you get kind of like this normal distribution of how good they are when they fall off, stuff like that. I think it's fair to say that we have at least a couple of our older guys who are really in like the top percentile of how old they can be and still be good players. And it's really a lot about injuries too, once you get up there, like in your mid late 30s, just so long as you don't overstrain your pitchers, you don't have any major injuries, there's not it's not really that compelling just how old they are as a reason that they're going to do poorly.
Yeah, and going back to what Dan Plesac said in that Cubs Talk podcast, he was asked the question about what do you think about these projections? What do you think about the Cubs being cellar dwellers? And this is what he had to say. It doesn't matter. The Cubs are going to be a really good team. It's going to be a wild NL Central. Javi Baez is going to be the most impactful player. Chris Bryant has to be healthy. And Yu Darvish has to be better than last year for the Cubs to win the Central. And I think he's right. I think this Cubs team is so great on paper, and we've seen them play so well over the last couple of years. All that it takes is for this team to be healthy to really put last season behind them. And they've got a chip on their shoulder. Last season ended terribly for this team. I mean, to just lose game 163, lose the division, and fall to the Brewers, and then to just lose to the Rockies in the wild card game. It's just something they're probably real fired up to just prove everybody wrong and be like, we got this and we're going to win. And I truly believe this Cubs team is going to make the playoffs and win the division.
Yeah, I hope that with the better batting that we have up, our pitchers will be able to stay peak performance more, because we'll be able to send in a closer. We'll have like a point advantage with our batting. We'll be able to send in a closer and end it. So we won't be straining our relievers. We won't be keeping our starters in that much, like, you know, extended amounts of time. So I think once the batting's up, we'll have a strategic, we'll have options that we'll be able to exercise. It'll be able to be more balanced.
Yeah, yeah. And just a couple of things I want to touch up on regarding some things I've seen from spring training and some things I've seen on Twitter. So Alex Cohen, he's, I believe, the voice of the Iowa Cubs. So the Cubs signed Christian Adames to a minor league contract with an invite to spring training this year. So far, he's had 480, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs with a 1.3 OPS. He's a former top 10 prospect with the Rockies. He spent last year in AAA. He's only 27, and he's played in 166 career MLB games. He said may be a name to watch, and I agree with him. I think if something happens to this team utility-wise, don't be shocked to see this guy called up somewhere during the season. Another thing is Cubs Twitter has been going crazy over the first-round pick last year out of Stanford, Nico. I think his name's Hurrier. I don't really know how to say his last name. I'm sorry. But he went like 8-for-8, and finally today in the game against the Brewers, he didn't go 9-for-9. So he's going to be a fun prospect to watch in 2019. He hit really well last year, played through single A, but I think he's going to start a double A Tennessee Smoky. So Cubs fans, just chill down a little bit and just watch some minor league ball if you really want to see him. he'll probably be up sometime in next season or two. And I mean, just he's been amazing this spring, but unfortunately, he's not going to factor into this team's opening day roster. So that does it for us here today on Cubby Correlation Podcast. I thank you all for listening. And once again, you can follow us on Twitter at Cubby C-O-R-R or at www.cubbycorrelation.com. Thank you for listening and go Cubs.
Go Cubs.